Well, 40 Days of Blessing is our series together. How many of you have experienced a blessing from the Lord this week? Raise your hand. All right. If it was a real good one, wave. Wave it. Come on. They're all real good ones. Every good and perfect gift, right? How many of you need a blessing this week? Raise your hand. You might need to stick both of them up in case God's counting. So might get your foot in there if that'd work. Well, that's what this is about. We've experienced the blessings of God. This is the third Blessed Sunday. We have discovered what it means to behold the blessings. We learned last week about asking for the blessing. And today we discover the life that God chooses to bless. The kind of life that God chooses to bless. What are there distinctive qualities or characteristics of that person or persons that God chooses to pour some of His blessings upon? I would suggest one unique special blessing, and again, Randall referred to my referral to it, if I can refer to his referral to me. One of the unique blessings that a child of God can have is not based on what God does, it's based on what we do, okay? Because one of the special blessings that a child of God should learn to develop is to be able to see the blessings that God is already giving. Wouldn't you agree that there's so many Christians that walk around that look like they've been vaccinated with pickle juice because they just look sour? It's a wonder our churches aren't full. We don't have good advertisers out there as followers of Jesus Christ. And yet, how special it is for a child of God to begin to recognize the perpetual, continual, overflowing, daily, minute blessings of God in our lives. That's why one of the steps or encouragements that we have through our prayer guide through this 40 Days of Blessings, as we spend 7 minutes a day, at least 7 minutes a day with the Lord, one of those steps is to see the daily blessings in God's Word for His children. And we get to see those and thank God for them and then ask God to help us to experience them in our lives on an ongoing basis. You see, a follower of Jesus Christ, if you are such a person, you are immediately and eternally blessed. You don't have to wait for it. It's a done deal. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You have the promise of heaven. You have the resources of heaven. God Almighty is at your disposal. His truth is available to you. His Spirit is inside of you. You have the Lord's team is with you. You win. We win. We already know. We win. We are blessed. Why don't we act like blessed people? Why don't we advertise what God's grace can do in a life? You see, the psalmist had it right when he said these words. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven. Is that you? Whose sins are covered? Is that me? Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. If you are a Christian, you have the greatest blessing of all eternity, and that's freedom from sin and a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Any and every other kind of blessing that God may choose to bestow on our lives, whether it's material or circumstantial or influence, is simply just a few cherries on top of this big cake. I mean, the cake is Jesus Christ, forgiveness of sin, hope of eternal salvation in heaven. And yet, so often how we get sidetracked because we don't either see the cherries that God brings or we substitute the cherries for the cake. We've got Jesus. Nothing else matters. We've got Jesus. But what about those qualities that might allow God to release His blessings that He already died to give? Those qualities in the life of that follower of Jesus Christ that God has seen fit to become the doorway in the heart and mind and spirit of that believer. What are those qualities that could possibly be the things that we could consciously attempt to do that God then might open the door through our obedience to these qualities so that He could then do what He's already wanting to do, and that is bless us more experientially and circumstantially? I'm glad you asked. You see in your worship notes the scriptures listed for you there. Galatians chapter 5 verses 16 through 25. Those are your cheat notes. Let's stand together as we honor the reading of the Lord's Word this morning. This is always an open book test. You have to be familiar with the book before you can pass even an open book test. Let me say that. It says, Galatians 5, 16 through 25. But I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousies, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another and envying one another. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word. You may be seated. Well, what are those qualities in this verse of Scripture that we might discern to seek to implement or by God's grace to experience in our lives so that our lives would become a doorway opened widely in response to God's will? As you would imagine, there's three things here. First of all, spiritually submissive. A person whose life is open fully to the blessings of God is a life that is spiritually submissive. Notice these verses. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition one to another. Are we surprised that you and I don't perpetually feel a sense of internal conflict and contradiction between ourselves? Our greatest battle in living the Christian life is not my brother, not my sister, but me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's my flesh. It's my sinfulness. It's my carnality. I don't know why it didn't dawn on me a lot sooner than it did, but I remember the reality one day, a few years after I became a Christian, that I realized that no matter how much I matured, no matter how much I developed, no matter how much I read God's Word, my flesh was not ever going to be sanctified. You don't mature flesh. You don't spiritually mature flesh. That's not what you do. And therefore, it should not be a surprise that there's an internal conflict between your spirit and your flesh. They are at war with one another, and that's the way it's going to be. And then notice, so that you may not do the things that you please. And then Galatians 5:24. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and lusts. In this text we find a few things that are descriptive in this text which are characteristic of the life that's widely open to God's blessing. This is under spiritual submission. What does it mean to be spiritually submissive? What does that mean? How do we do that? If that's the quality that I need in my life, that God could then pour His fullest blessings, what does that mean? It means to walk by the Spirit. We might translate that in accordance with, in agreement with the Spirit, alongside the Spirit. There's another verse of Scripture says that how can two walk together lest they agree? It means to be in fellowship with the Spirit. It means to be in tune with the Spirit. It means to be in harmony with the Spirit. Are you getting the sense of the meaning? It means to walk by the Spirit means you are doing according to His will and not your will. Notice, this does not mean that the Spirit of God harmonizes with my life. Aren't you glad He doesn't do that? It means that we harmonize our life with the Spirit, because we are the ones that's out of tune. We're the ones singing sharp or flat. We're the ones that can't carry a tune with our lives. We can't carry a note. We can't even deliver it well. I mean, it's the adjustment of our lives to the Spirit of God. It's to make adjustments in our heart, our minds, our attitudes, our actions, our motivations to God's Holy Spirit. And notice how he qualifies it here. You will not carry out the desires of the flesh. In other words, these are mutually exclusive experiences. You cannot walk according to the Spirit and satisfy the flesh at the same time and in the same way. To do one is to deny the other, and to do the other is to deny the one. You can't please God and yourself at the same time and in the same way. That's what he says here. He says, it sets its desire against the flesh. These are in opposition. Notice how it says this. So that you may not do the things that please you. Can we admit something? The greatest enemy to our lives being fully open to God's greatest blessings are because too often we are living according to our pleasures, according to our desires. We want to do those things that please us. You see, there's an inherent lie by Satan that we buy into. And the lie by Satan that our flesh buys into, and part of the nature of sinfulness is blindness. You understand that? Part of the byproduct of a sinful mind, a carnal mind, is delusion. I think Satan is the ultimate deluded fallen angel. I mean, why would you fight against God thinking you're going to win? The only conclusion I can draw about why Satan would continue to fight against God when we know the end of the story is that Satan doesn't believe it. He's so deluded in his own prominence and his ability to overcome what he thinks God's place is in the universe that he thinks he can gain some ground. We know he's stupid, don't we? I mean, how dumb can you be, Satan? Why don't you just give up? What are you trying to win? He's God. Hello. I mean, your existence, your power, your ability, everything comes from him, and you've misused it. You think you can do what pleases you and that'll please you. Are you recognizing some qualities in your life? You see, it's a delusion on our part of the carnal mind that thinks, if I do what pleases me, that'll please me. And that's the point. Doing what pleases the flesh never satisfies the flesh or the Spirit. It cannot satisfy the Spirit, and the flesh is unsatisfiable. Let me say that again. The flesh is unsatisfiable. You can let the flesh vent its desires in a thousand ways, and yet it always wants more. Another drink, another search on the website of an improper website, another picture, another lewd image. More. It's like drinking salt water. It just makes you thirsty because it never satisfies. Spiritually submissive means to walk in accordance with the Spirit. And it means the second quality under this one point is crucifying the flesh. You know, I said a few moments ago that I discovered that as long as I lived and grew and tried to understand Scripture and all of those things, that it dawned on me one day, I was not going to mature my flesh. Flesh cannot be sanctified. It can only be crucified. And you notice what it says in Galatians 5:24. Now those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and its lusts. Now, if you've got a moment, it's not on your screen. I always try to give you a little extra. Sometimes a lot extra, I know. Romans chapter 6, when it says crucifying the flesh, it doesn't mean that you crucify it. It means it's already been crucified. Let's see who did that. Romans 6, starting with verse 6. Well, let's back up to verse 5 if you have your cheat notes. For if we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Let me translate that. When by faith we trust Jesus Christ, in that moment of faith, we become in union, in oneness with Christ. And this verse says, what is true of Jesus becomes true of you. Let me say that again. Once you, by faith, invite Jesus into your heart, this scripture says, what is true of Jesus is now true of you because you are in union, oneness with Christ. What is true of Jesus? In Him, the likeness of His death. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. We don't have to sin. I'm talking on the conscious level. I know on the unconscious level we'll do stuff we don't even know we're doing. But on the conscious level, that it might be done away, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Died? Who died? Jesus died. But when you became one with Christ, you died. What's true of Jesus is true of you. Your old flesh was crucified. When he died, your sinful nature was crucified. Now, if we have died with Christ, there it is. We believe that we shall also live with Christ. What's true of Jesus is true of you. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, are you raised from the dead? Absolutely you are. Now, physically, this old body is going to be cast off. We're going to get a new one one day. Mine's beginning to show some wear and tear. How about yours? Getting a new body one day. I don't know if we get to order the one we want. I don't know. They're probably not. We won't care. People say, well, we're going to recognize each other in heaven. You've heard me say this before. Vance Haven, the old evangelist, said, well, I don't think we're going to have less sense there than we do here, and I recognize you now, so... We saw a couple of people being baptized this morning. Now, when they trusted Jesus as Savior and Lord, at that moment of faith, their old nature was crucified, put to death, and they became alive. They were resurrected by God's Spirit. They're a new creature in Jesus Christ. Can we be newer than new? No. We can experience what we already are in our fullest extent when this old man is completely done away with in heaven's glory. We will do that, and I'm looking forward to that day. How about you? But you are resurrected in Jesus Christ. You are living the resurrected Christ, or at least should be. How you apply what you are is your part. Hello. How you apply what God's made you to be, if you're not living in the full position of your relationship as a child of God, in the Spirit of God, then that's what you're missing out on in the life that God blesses. He's provided the way. You have to provide the will. Let's read on. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ. Consider means it's an accounting term. It means count it as so. Mark it down. Act on it. You've got the money in the bank. Make a draw. God's made the deposit of grace. He's given you life. But are you living spiritually submissive by walking in the Spirit and appropriating the crucifixion of the flesh? Now, I know what you're thinking. If you're not thinking, as soon as I say it, you're going to think that you should have thought it. If your flesh is crucified, if it's dead, why is it wearing you out? See, I knew you were thinking that. If your old man is crucified, why is he still raising up his ugly head or her ugly head I'm not saying that in a physical sense, in your life in giving you and I such a hard time? I'm glad you asked. He was cut. The root of your flesh was cut at the cross. But the application of what Jesus did to your flesh is a faith application, moment by moment, day by day. We have to, by faith, appropriate what Jesus already did on the cross for us. Now you're saying, why would God do that? Why wouldn't He just, at the moment of our salvation, just go, I trust Jesus, and He goes, boom, your old flesh is gone. Now just stick it in neutral and live in the live in the Spirit the rest of the time. Why wouldn't He do that? Why does He make us struggle with this old flesh? Because He wants us to be intimately dependent on Him. Intimately dependent on Him all the time. All the time. Every moment. When you pull into that 7-Eleven, you're just going to get gas. I mean, you've had a sweet time in God's Word in the morning. You've read some scripture, prayed, had the experience of God. You get in your vehicle, you own your way to work, you need a little gas, you pull into 7-Eleven, you think, I'm going to go in. Hadn't had breakfast, going to get me an orange juice and some zingers. You step inside there with a glow of God's Spirit about your life. As soon as you walk in, there's a rack of magazines right in front of your eyes. Isn't it amazing how quickly you can, the flesh goes, hello. It's going, eyeballs look to the left a little more. I can't get a full view. Dependent on God's Spirit every moment of every day. You see, this is a question. Do we want God's blessings all the time? Oh, let's move on. Not only spiritually submissive, but secondly, biblically guided. A characteristic, a quality of someone whose life is blessable by God is one that's guided by God's Word. Notice in these verses, Galatians 5, 19 through 21. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envies, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, for which I forewarned you, just as I forewarned you that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Why are these things wrong? Are they wrong in themselves, or are they wrong because God says they're wrong? My view is both. When He says they're wrong within themselves. Well, you say, well, what if I want to do some of them? Well, do you want God's blessings? If you belong to God, the Scripture says, when you walk in conscious rebellion against His Spirit, He's going to chastise you. God disciplines those that are His. My mama got on some kids down the street verbally. But I never saw her whip any of them. A few of them I wanted to put on the list, but for us, we had plenty of opportunities. You know why? We were hers. The biblically guided life seeks to know God's mind, His heart, and His will by reading God's Word. If you want the kind of life God can bless, then make it a life habit to read the owner's manual. Here it is. This is the owner's manual. His guidebook. You remember one of my message series here a while back, I gave you a listing of that whole series of books for idiots. You remember that? You know? mechanics for idiots, brain surgeries for idiots. I think we could add one to the list. We could call it this one right here. Blessings for idiots. As simple as that, isn't it? You want to be blessed? Here's the guidebook. Discover the mind of God. Discover the will of God. Discover the Spirit of God. This is the question. Can I ask you, does the Bible, its principles, its values, God revealed in here, Jesus revealed in here, the Holy Spirit revealed in here, does this inform, direct, redirect, correct, crucify, enlighten your opinions, your values, your convictions? Hello, your politics. Hello, your pleasures, your economic principles, your family values, your hobbies, your habits. Does the Word of God give corrective and directive to your life? It's so easy for all of us to hear a message, go to Bible study, spend a little moment with God each day, and then discard it. I can tell you one of my propensities out of my personality type. I tend to be philosophical. I'm not informing you. You already know this. Philosophical, ideological, wordy. And the confusion that my personality type can make is that I can confuse knowing with doing. Well, I know that. I know that. We'll do it! Knowing, hear me, this is deep stuff here. Knowing is not doing. I know, hang on, write that down. You're going to need to remember that. That's a deep one. That probably, you'll have to ask somebody. Now, what did he say? Knowing is not doing. Blessings come from he that heareth the word and doeth it. You want a life blessed by God? Your life needs to be guided biblically. And then lastly and quickly, the third thing is actively engaged, and this comes right out of the last one. Actively engaged. James 2:17, even so faith, if it has no works, is dead being by itself. And then Galatians 5:22 through 23, I love these. But the fruit of the Spirit is, we've seen the fruit of the flesh. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now wouldn't you say, if a person is experiencing the fruit, it didn't say fruits, it said fruit. You see the difference between the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit are given by the Holy Spirit to us in a package, either 1 to 3. We either have strong gifts and some weaker gifts, but we'll have 1 or 2 or 3. We won't have all the gifts in the body of Christ. Then God puts the family together so that our unique giftedness makes the body function, because we all can't be hands and all can't be feet and all can't be eyeballs, but we're different parts of the body, and that's how we function. That's the fruits of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit, every Christian has the capacity to experience all the fruit. Because the fruit of the Spirit is the evidence of the Lordship of Jesus Christ in the heart of the Christian. Now, wouldn't you say if the person is experiencing the Lordship of Christ in their hearts, and they're experiencing love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, wow! What a life that's going to be. But you notice here, notice. The blessings here are defined in their depths based on the heart of the Christian, not on the externals. You know how often when we want God's blessings? Oh, Lord, give me a raise. Oh, Lord, heal my cancer. Oh, Lord, give me a job. Oh, Lord, give me a bigger house. Oh, Lord, give me a new boss. Externals. How often do you say, Lord, give me some peace. Give me some joy. Holy Spirit, give me some self-control. Oh, God, give me kindness. Give me patience. Let me tell you something. When you've got those internal qualities, the world can be raging around your life. And you'll be at peace. That's the blessed life. You see, so often, the mistake we make is missing out on God. You see, Galatians, again, 2:20, for I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. 1 Peter 1:13-16, therefore prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Henry Blackaby said years ago that God is always at work around our life. We just need to recognize where he's working and join him. I would alter that a little bit. God's blessing always around our lives. We just need to look out where he's doing it and get with him. How many times have we messed up God's blessings because we have missed the blessings of God? At Chernobyl, the massive explosion of a Soviet nuclear reactor released radiation fallout 400 times greater than the atomic bomb dropped on Hiroshima. While the suddenness and the spectacular nature of Chernobyl disaster drew the world's attention, another catastrophe in the Soviet Union passed by largely unnoticed. In the 1960s, Soviet engineers diverted the two main rivers feeding the Aral Sea so that cotton crops could be cultivated in the surrounding desert. It's not like a good blessing to have, isn't it? As a result, inflow to the body of water, to the Aral Sea, was reduced to a trickle. In time, the Aral Sea began to evaporate. Once the world's fourth largest lake, it shrank to well under 10% of its original size, leaving behind a graveyard of ships to litter the barren earth. Nicknamed the Silent Chernobyl, the destruction of the Aral Sea has had a calamitous impact on the surrounding environment. They thought they had a better plan than God. Dozens of species of birds, animals, and fish have vanished from the area. Salt from the lake, which now covers the dry earth like snow, is blown by the wind and contaminates farmland up to 500 kilometers away. The salt also pollutes the air and groundwater, causing throat cancer, lung disease, and kidney and liver complications among the local population. How often have we missed and messed up God's blessings because we thought we could do a better job of blessing our lives than God? Let's pray together. My Father God, we thank you for the truth of your word. That the blessable life is available to every follower of Jesus Christ. If we will learn to surrender ourselves to your spirit. Learn to count our flesh crucified. Learn to allow our lives to be guided by the truth of your word. And then learn to be engaged actively in kingdom service, doing what you called us to do, doing good works for the glory of God, so that others might ask of the hope that is within us concerning Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, I pray right now that every heart would be available to you. And that we could say together, Lord, help me to want to live a blessable life. Help me by your grace to surrender to your Spirit, to seek your heart and your mind and your word, and then to desire to serve with my life. Lord, we can't play games with you. We can't keep one foot in our pleasures and seek to please you. We can't keep one foot in the world and one foot in the Spirit because they contradict both. God, make it clear to the people in this room that there is a way out. There is peace, love, joy, all those things available if we will live in the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us all to say, Lord, if I haven't done so already, help me to start today to say, Lord, enable me by your grace to live the blessable life. Lord, if there's someone that doesn't know what I'm talking about having a relationship with Jesus, I pray that they'd ask maybe someone that they came with, a neighbor or friend, or visit with me in the greeting time out in the lobby, or come down this aisle and say, I want to know this Jesus, tell me how. And Lord, it could be that there are several of your people here today that your Holy Spirit has brought conviction. They know the truth, but they're not being set free because they're not doing the truth. God, repentance is the first step to living the blessable life. Some need to come and spend a moment at this your altar and saying, God, I need to get some junk off my heart. Forgive me. Lord, this invitation is yours. In Jesus' name I pray.